This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hordor. This is Triple OG Widamu Mason. OG, it is round three. Preview time. We're into it, brother.
It's been flying, man. The whole year, right?
You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
We've got a big episode coming up. We'll obviously preview all the games. We've got all the odds from our partners at the tab. But I've got topic one, the tale of two halves. Two big names have been dropped already. We're only 3 weeks into the NRL season. We've lost Jackson Hastings for the Newcastle Knights, and Lachie Ilias was the night before it was reported. And it ended up being the case on Tuesday when the team list came out, both halves. So we'll discuss both of them. Yep. There's also been some news, a bit of backlash from Vossi and Brandy at SEN on Josh Mansell's podcast that he did with the buy round.
Unfair.
James Graham, we'll talk about that. We'll delve into that. And I guess the two biggest names on the free agent market right now that are available to sign at a team next year are the May brothers. Yeah. So we'll discuss that. There's been a new club that has emerged as the favourite to sign both of them because it is believed that they want to be packaged together. If you're new to the gang, you know the deal. Like, subscribe, get on YouTube, get on Instagram, get on TikTok before it goes, and subscribe on Apple and Spotify. We've got a comment here. This is from the 11th of the 3rd, 2024. Easily the best NRL podcast. Two mates having a yarn, but with proper in-depth knowledge and analysis. Henry, 1990-92. Really appreciate that, brother.
Thank you, Henry. I guess
that's the way we view the podcast as well. Good mates. We love talking footy and
conversation.
Feel like we've got pretty good footy IQ, LeBron James and JJ Redick.
We need to break plays down like those two.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a mad show, eh?
It's awesome. It's there's, like we said, levels. There's levels to
for LeBron, like his IQ is well known to be like one of the smartest. Like he even put himself out there and get JJ Redick, someone like that who we must respect, who has a high IQ of basketball as well. Sit down there and break plays. That could change the game, I reckon.
Do you reckon that's an underrated part of his obviously the way he's conditioned his body over the years, but his IQ figuring out how to play games smarter is been a big part of his longevity in the game.
Yeah, 100%. That's what they all say, the greats say. Like when he went to Miami, that's when he really learned the IQ off
Spoelstra.
Pat Riley and Spoelstra and D Wade and all those kind of guys. And he just went, phew. And plus he's a freak athlete.
Oh, here we go. Lukey's got something ready. He's fucking ready
already.
Oh, you want a bottle of red? We don't need
bottle
it, mate, because we've got the BSC energy drinks.
Can we mix the energy drinks with a bottle of red?
So
at 8 o'clock in the morning.
This episode is also brought to you by BSC, specifically the energy drinks at the moment, Mace. They are pumping. If you haven't tried them, they're 160 milligrams of caffeine. There's no sugar, no carbs. So if you're a tradie, or you could be watching this or listening to this going to work, might be doing some scaff. And you got one of the other energy drinks, get rid of it because this is the grouse. No sugar, no carbs. So not only does it have that beautiful, nice taste, you're also not getting all the other that all the other energy drinks.
Quick little story. I was getting a quick little fade from
looking good
Barbarians yesterday, and he was drinking Red Bull. I was like, can you stop drinking that shit, Ali? You know what I mean? I said, I'm going to drop him down the carton of these and see how he goes with that. Young kids, 19, they're getting to those I've got to break those little habits with him. So he's in the gym, he's getting after it all the time. I said, don't drink that shit.
Look at that. The opposition copping straight off the bat too. I love that. It has to test it as well. So it's good for all the athletes, just like me and you, Maze.
Yeah.
Because we are going to be at the Aqua Rugby tournament representing Team BC.
Oh, yeah.
And our good mate, Rennie Matua, is joining us as well.
Yeah, nice. I think
Dan Conn's in the team. We've got a good gang.
I need to know body science. I'm on at the moment now, I'm 60 hours into a fast. Would that break my fast because it has no sugar?
Well, let's not break it
now. I'm not going to break it.
Let's not just in case.
72 hours.
I think you'll be sweet because everything that's in here, you can enjoy it guilt-free, mate. So
surely.
Just hold off on it just in case. I don't want you to break it.
Talk to me, Greg.
And,
you're the scientist.
Yeah, let us know, Greg and Pico. All right, mate, we just got the one YouTube question. This one's for you, Big Willie. Love the content, gents. Big Willie, with all your work, with all the young up-and-comers over at the Dogs, do you see any SBW-like talents coming through? Now, I know what you're going to say. Mm. There is no SBW.
Yeah.
In your opinion, who is the next big thing to keep an eye out for? I want a forward and a back, mate, and that's from Laurie Pritchard.
Well, I'm not that good with names, right, back there. They're all a bunch of really good kids. SG Ball is obviously under 19s. I think that's where you're really going to get your pick from.
Yep.
That's where if you get through that night, play a couple of years in 19s, and then you probably pretty much jump flag and you get to Reggie's, and then you should play first grade. That should be the pathways. But because I think because of the COVID factor and everyone missing out, they've gone under 17s as Harold Matz, under 19s as SG Ball, under 21s as Jersey Fleet.
Okay.
And then you got reserve grade and then first grade.
Yeah, because we were 16s, 18s, 20s.
Yes. So it was a bit harder to get through. It was not many jumping from Reggie's to first grade. I mean, from Fleet to even to first grade.
Do you like that to reserve grade?
I think it's given everyone an opportunity.
Mm.
I'm not sure how long it'll stick around, but it's given everybody an opportunity. So nobody's missing out on the game. So if you're 22, you're still going to play reserve grade if you're good enough.
Yeah.
And then if you're 20, 21, you're still going to play Jersey Flag. So
yeah, I like the extra year of development for 21s. I don't mind it.
They need the development because they missed out on those two years with COVID, and it was a fucking important moment in their careers. So I'm glad that the NRL has done this, or New South Wales Rugby League have done this.
Yep.
But I love Mitch Woods. He's a kid that he gives me Mitch Pearce vibes.
Yeah, okay. Big rap.
And that's a big rap.
Yep.
Like he's got he loves his footy. He's passionate. He's a captain of our SG ball side, which is 19. He's a year young.
Yep.
He's got all the fundamentals, right? The laser left to right, right to left, tackled, willing to tackle, right? Piercy was a fucking gun defender. He was a dog. He would put himself in front.
He was a small body, but he's willing.
Yeah. He was very willing. And
especially
then he
early on.
And he bulked up and then he got about 5 or 6 kilos of muscle on him. That's what Woodsy's heading towards because he's only a baby still.
Yeah.
But he's got a good height, got a good footy IQ. Even the great Joey John said he's the best 7 he's seen.
That's massive.
I hope Woodsy doesn't listen to this so he doesn't get a big head. Because I love the kid. I've known him since he was 15. I've had a lot to do with him. So.
And also, you don't want, you know, last time Joey sort of put big raps
on
the
you don't want to be the next Joey Johns. Joey didn't say he's going to be the next team. He's learnt that. He's learnt that because he's ruined 10 careers.
Well, the main one was Luke Brooks, who had all that pressure coming through.
Well, that's the thing. It's not Joey's fault when you compare him to Joe. But he just said, who's the young kid who's in the pathways for us? He was in New South Wales pathways.
He's your guy?
Woodsy, he goes, best product of best talent I've seen for the last 10 or 15 years.
Well,
I went, shit. And I think I told Woodsy that. No pressure, mate. Anyway, he's my heart. He's the back. Looks some decent. We've got some really Jeffro, a winger. I think he could play. I think he played first grade in 2 or 3 years. He's 17, 18. He's playing Jersey Fleet already. He's played twos. A fucking like Vunivalu, man.
Ooh.
He's got that. And he's a baby.
Yeah.
He's a baby. I like him. I don't think I've even said hello to him.
Yeah,
you didn't. But he don't know.
Yeah, I
he
like
don't
that.
Know. But I'm like that. I fucking like this. I like the five.
I like
the five. We've got a young kid, young little Cobbo's nephew, I think.
Yep.
He's from that tribe, and he looks exactly like
Selwyn.
Selwyn, yeah, good looking cat, 17, ripped as fuck,
smooth
look. Yeah, just done a grade 3 hamstring, which was awful. So he's out for the year, but he was showing so much promise. He's the future on the wing. Those two guys are the future.
Okay.
In about 3 years, I reckon.
Nice.
And proper first graders, right? Not just like, you know, just fill in, have a couple of games and fuck off. Yep. He's got it all. He's fucked. Body fat's about like 8%. It's ridiculous. Forwards is the big one, right? That's what we need. We've got a couple of young kids. Young kid, Sefo. I like him. He's a back rower. I like Sphinxy, the back rower. Another one. We've got some really fucking got some really good hard working back rowers, right? Big foes.
Are they like Preston type toilet, like really hard working back rowers?
Sort of
or
like, one's like an Angus Crichton. Sphinx is like an Angus Crichton, man. Like he's fucking big ball runner, Australian schoolboy, all that sort of stuff. He's done all that sort of stuff. He's one of the leaders in that side. Young kid Foe, who's got all the attributes to be that. He just needs to be coached better.
Yeah.
You know, he's about 6'4", 120 kilos, 12% body fat. You know, like what's, you know.
He needs to develop by the sense.
Just develop. He just turned 18, right? So we need to at the start, he couldn't even get more than 10 minutes out. He busted out 35 minutes straight on the weekend.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? Like little things like that.
And that's going to come with more game time, right?
Developing a pass, you know, because he's the product of give the big Polynesian kid the ball and let him fucking run through the whole team from age 8 to age 15.
Okay.
And now it evens out when you're playing flag.
Boy starts or SG ball. Hit the gym.
You got to play the big boy up in Newcastle, the big boy out in Penrith, the Parramatta guy, the Canberra kid. They all got those guys. Mm. What's the difference? It's the footy IQ. It's the fitness. So he's getting fitter. So he's a work in progress.
Okay.
You know, so it's got some good kids there. And then I'm probably leaving out some other kids, but they're the ones that I'm looking at and going, okay, if they really concentrate and really put their work in the next 2 or 3 years, they will be first graders.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So some of those boys have just got named. I only asked for two, but Mace gave you about 6 or 7 of Bulldogs fans.
Yeah.
There's a crop coming.
It's like the couple of those wingers there, man. I forgot about those on the way in. I was just like, nah, one of them is nice.
You know what's something to look out for? So you mentioned Bill Woods now. I think Queensland have gone through this purple patch of Munster, Cherry Evans, before them, Kronk, Lockyer, Thurston, and now they've got Ezra
Mann. Did you say Bill Woods?
Oh, what's his name? Sorry.
Mitch Woods.
Mitch Woods. Apologies. Woods. Apologies,
Channel
Mitch.
10 Sports Tonight. Bill Woods.
Apologies, Mitch.
He does a podcast for the Dogs.
Yeah, I know who he is now. Yeah, that's what's in mind. So they obviously go through the golden era, and then after you get Cherry Evans, Ben Hunt, Cam Munster, now you've got Tommy Dearden, Ezra Mam, Sam Walker. I'm probably going to forget someone, but
they're the main ones.
Basically, in New South Wales, in the last 10 years, it's been Mitch. I mean, it's been Nathan Cleary and who? Like, there hasn't really been someone solidify that role. Obviously, Jerome's played a lot of footy with him. Mitch Moses has been talked about. Cody Walker's been thereabouts. Even before that, it was like Mitchy Pearce copped a lot of the brunt for New South Wales for a long time. Now, if you look at this young crop, not Bill, Mitch Woods, you've got Lachlan Galvin at the Tigers, who looks, you know, one game in, looks a player. Ethan Strange at the Canberra Raiders, who looks a player. And I'm probably forgetting one more. So I had one more in my mind just before, and I've forgotten about him now. If it comes to me, I'll let you know. Yeah. But seems like there's Ethan Sanders. There's big raps on that Ethan Sanders kid's from Parramatta as well. So feels like there's a crop coming through for New South Wales, something to be excited about in the next couple of years.
Because Cleary's got another 10 years in him. Or not 10 years, maybe in rep football.
I think
but
so.
At least, like, how old is Cleary?
Nath would be about 26, 27. Jeez. I'll look at that.
Well, he's not going to play for 10 years.
Well, Daly is. That's Daly's age. So if you project him to have the same sort of career.
Yeah, but he didn't start as young as Daly. I mean, as long as Daly didn't start as young as Cleary at the rep scene.
Daly would have been 21 when he debuted, I think.
Yeah, but debuted for like New South Wales. I mean, for Queensland.
So Nath is 26.
Yeah, he's at least 5 to 6 years at the top again.
Yeah. So, and I'm just getting, Chez up now as well. So Daly's 26. Chez is
35.
Enhanced. Chez is 35. So 9 years. I can picture. I can see Nath going if he wants to. In this stat, we just talked about LeBron taking care of your bodies, footy IQ. What doesn't Nath have?
Yeah, unless he's got someone else just taking over him. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference with Queensland. No one's taken DCE's position or Ben Hunt's. So they've been waiting for Sam Walker to do that for 2 or 3 years. Ezra Mann's probably the next man up. You know, these younger kids, Tom Dearden, you know, but they have to wait for these guys to lose.
Correct.
And they're not losing and they're still doing a job. DC was one of the best players in the comp last year and for Origin. So it's like, I don't care how old he is.
Hey, and congrats too, the most capped skipper in Manly history.
Well done.
He's coming for all the records, mate. He's still got a couple of years left.
Oh, easy.
He's 310 games
he's
now.
He's only just going to retire from rep football, I reckon, after this year. 308
games.
Maybe after this year and he'll go, okay, I'll concentrate on club for 3 more years.
I know him really. You know I know him really well.
He'll hang on.
He will go as long as he's competitive, mate. He's,
as much as they pick him, like
he's super competitive. He's the sort of guy, he won't give it up.
Oh, 100,
so he'll have to be tapped on the shoulder with Billy and say,
he shouldn't give it up because if they keep winning, I know what Queensland's like. They'll just keep picking him. And like if they lose this year, then they'll go for that next guy.
Then there'll be a discussion.
Yes, then there's a discussion.
Yeah.
But he still has to be playing on the down, but he's not. He's still like that. He's plateaued a little bit and he's still going that way. He's trending towards that way, especially when he gets that maroon jersey.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like he's 35. Hell,
I'm sick of it. Retire, mate.
It still feels like he's trending up and they're a genuine
contender.
He's
just gotten better. And as I say, like, just say with sports science and everything like that, and evolution, blah, 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 like they're going to play better when they get older. They understand the game slows down for the guys when they're about 30. Look, DC doesn't even get his heart rate above fucking 120.
How funny is this? We're supposed to be previewing on round 3, already talking about Origin. My bad. I started talking about all the young kids and then we end up talking about Origin. But we're into it. All right, mate. On the weekend, we are going to be attending the Golden Slipper with our partners, the TAB, and we're looking forward to getting out there at Rose Hill. So we've got Emma and Ben to give us some tips from the So We Think podcast. And I actually thought it was the Way Overdue podcast, but that's actually your Instagram handle,
Well, that
Ben.
That was the title I suggested, but unfortunately Emma wanted to play a role in the show as well.
Yeah, and my surname is not Way.
No, so, but at Way Overdue, please follow me on Instagram. You'll be absolutely amazed with the content. A little bit of cooking, a little bit of relationship. A
lot of dogs.
Stuff. Lots of dog stuff.
We love our dogs at levels, Emma, I'll start with you. I've got a funny story. I do a radio with James Magnuson.
Yes.
And he didn't mention your name on the Moles Club the other week, but he said he ran into you and then you ended up giving him some tips. Mm-hmm. for the races. And the place that he ran into you at was the new Allianz Stadium, and I believe you were in the ice bath / steam room sauna.
Yeah, we're doing the hot and cold, hot and cold.
So first of all, my question is that six again? Because we said it's not on radio. Like, leave her alone. Let her, you know, at least maybe wait until you're leaving the facilities before you're asking for a tip. And
Did he ask?
To be fair, we were in the steam room first, and I've met James a couple of times, and we kind of did that knowing glance, like, oh, okay, but we're in a steam room, so yeah. I'm in my black Speedos and you're in your budgies and there's like 10 people in here. Like, we don't want to be – you don't want to be talking in there, talking, racing.
Not
and stuff. But then I got into the –
don't want to be talking at all.
No, not at all. I think it's a place of silence, but there's people who seem to disagree with that. Get into the ice bath, and within a minute of being there, I hear the – hi, Em. And I'm like, oh, God. Okay, now we're chatting in the ice. I wanted to hear about his venture into the enhanced games. Yep. So I was happy to have a chat with James. But, yeah, there was probably some sporting types at the stadium looking at us going, what are these two babbling on about? I think it's fine. He asked in a very polite manner. I tipped him Gatsby's. Oh,
okay.
I wasn't going to say that.
He declared it. On him. And I think we all did. We were all declaring him.
He was desperately unlucky to bump into Em at the only time in history she wasn't keen for a chat.
Next part of the question is, guys, because you say renowned people see you on TV all the time, where's the weirdest place? Was that up there, Emma, for a weirdest place you've been asked for a tip?
Only relates to you.
Well, your Instagram handle is now world famous. I think the ice bath is one of the strangest places to cop and ask for the tip.
Yeah, our target demographic at Sky Racing really lends itself towards
pubs,
clubs, fast food, eateries late at night. So it's more that, you know, you've finished work late at night, you're in a Hungry Jack's wanting a quick meal.
Cheese your life.
Burgers are better.
Have you had the Whopper? And they've really upgraded their chips. Kind of medium cut now.
Yeah, they have, I'm a bit of bacon deluxe guy myself, but yeah, Whopper's the OG.
You can tell James that that's okay. If he sees me in the ice bath next time, it's A-okay.
Yeah,
but I need to try and get to the 10 minutes like he does.
Yeah, you're trying to kill time. That's the biggest secret. In 10 ice
minutes,
bath,
he 10 does.
Minutes, yeah. Yeah, that's the minimum.
So trying to distract yourself, mate.
You do. That's what I do when I'm in an ice bath for 10 minutes. I try and talk or just watch something. If I'm with no, but usually I'm with the younger sort of kids and they're just asking a million questions anyway at the Bulldogs facilities. So 10 minutes goes quick.
Well, see, I finished mine because I don't do 10 minutes because I'm a wuss and I'm trying to get
there.
It's
a long time.
It's a long time, 10
But I did five and then I got into the spa and actually continued to chat to him so that I could try and help him get through the 10 minutes. By the end of it, he was sitting there with his fingers out and was chattering away.
It's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, I do feel good afterwards.
Way better.
So he's good. In ferociously good nick.
He was before. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's enhanced already,
but
he's been looking mint for years.
You know what?
He's in good shape.
I feel a bit sorry for him in a way in the last couple of months because when I spoke to him about what he could do as part of the enhanced games, it's not like they can go up doing heaps of anabolic steroids and stuff like that. It has to be prescribed by a doctor and
monitored.
I think the message has been really lost for him.
I think did Kieran Perkins come out? Someone's going to die. Like, shut up, man! No, it's all going to be monitored by doctors, right?
Yeah, and he does look in good.
And he's been looking like that for years. He trained so hard. Yeah. I can only imagine what he's going to look like if he does. Yeah. You know, when he does do it.
First person I've ever heard tell Kieran Perkins to shut up.
Ben, you've got to watch our podcast. Everyone cops it. Nathan Hindmarsh was copping strays before for some reason. Wow.
No one's going to die, right? It's all because it's all medically. There's doctors in that. They're measuring you. Everything's measured, right? You're not going to be sitting here like a bodybuilder. Come on.
And he's got heaps of time, like maybe 18 months before the games actually happen. So, look, if I was offered $1 million and I was that good at swimming, I'd probably think about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm super intrigued.
What would be your event, Em?
Oh.
Olympic event.
I'm probably a gymnast. Look at me.
See, the only way I could do it is something like sailing. Somebody carried me to victory.
Yeah.
The boat.
I like that.
The boat.
When we discussed it early
on.
Spew
on that thing like that.
There was a lot of complaints about, you know, the perception it gives to young athletes. But you're right, Ben. Like, how many athletes can actually even get close to breaking a world record to be a part of these games regardless? So it's only going to be a specific sort of athlete.
Yeah.
It's only going to be close to.
There's some guy who's already in good nick like Mags. Yeah. You know, like he's looking good anyway. And he's not like he's 40. He's like early 30s.
Yeah.
Like, he retired when he was 28.
God, you're all over the stats.
I just want mates with him. And I asked him a million questions in the ice bath before.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's ask them some questions. We need some tips for the weekend for everyone who's going to come out and we're going to get amongst it with the punters as well. I think I'm going to get a mic. Mace is going to be out there. So we want to know. Let's start early.
My advice is do that.
Yeah, that is the plan.
Before 1 o'clock or
that's
2
o'clock.
I'll be out there with the eighth immortal, Joey Johns. About 11:30, I think.
There you go.
That's a good idea
for him too. So I reckon we get done nice and early, and then we want to get some reactions, and hopefully they're good reactions, guys, because we've got some good mail. Do you want to kick it off with the first group one, the Ranford Stakes?
Yeah. For me, this is a race in two. Think it over, up against a mare who cost $5.5 million. Ooh. Her name is Via Sistina.
Yep.
And the money has been big for her, so I'm gonna back her.
Yeah,
Via Sistina.
Not too much to add there. I agree. Small field. Of all the group ones, that's probably the one where you're sitting there thinking, I would have appreciated some more numbers.
Having said that, I'll tell you something. Seven, Place to Carousel, which is Anthony and Sam Friedman's. I take my cousin, he's Sam. He and my uncle trained the Melbourne Cup winner last year. And Sam usually travels up when they've got runners up here.
Yep.
Oh, no, the big dog, the boss is coming up this weekend, which just told me maybe something.
Okay.
Yeah, we were discussing it off air. Em's been to Place de Carousel various times over the years in Paris. Just the courtyard there at the front of the Louvre.
Sitting there having apparently. A lovely
look. Very well named as well, out of a dam called Traffic Jam. The traffic there is nightmarish.
Awful.
All right. The next one up is the Rose Hill Guineas. We're going to bring Mace. Mace has actually got some mail I want to ask you about as well, but it's on the slipper. It's in the slipper, so it's coming up in a couple of races. Yeah. Yeah, he was looking down.
Should win.
He was looking down before and I was like, I think that's the next race.
I thought we were just doing one race, the slipper.
We'll finish off with the slipper. The Rose Hill Guineas, guys, how do we see this one?
So we've got a horse that won over a trip last preparation in Riff Rocket coming up against Tom Kitten. And both of them, you're now wondering, right, with Riff Rocket, Chris Waller thinks this horse isn't a stayer. This is about the maximum trip. And with Tom Kitten, he refuses to get warm at anything under 2,000 metres. They now meet at that trip and it's going to be
good battle.
It's going to be awesome. I have a feeling Tom Kitten's kind of been kidding to us for the past couple of starts. We might see him finally rear his big head, but Riff Rocket's a good horse, so take them on at your peril. I think it is between those two.
I'm going to throw in Cafe Millennium, the big horse, in there for some each way money. He'll be at a decent price, and I loved his run last start.
When you say big horse size, is that what big boy?
He looks like, I mean, John O'Shea hates me saying this, but he kind of looks like a big giraffe. Like, he's just big, isn't he? He's just a big,
and he is a dork.
Yeah, he's a dork.
You sort of see him. He's a bit confused. It's like when you handball the ball to a ruckman. I know that might be lost in context.
We know the AFL.
It takes 8 minutes to send the ball from the hand to the foot. And that's kind of what Cafe Millennium's like.
I feel like he's putting it together, though.
He is.
Yeah.
All right. The next one is the George Ryder Stakes. And Think About It is the favourite at $3.80.
The big thing here is Think About It. So he won the Everest. Yep. We've seen him treated as a sprinter. He's last two preparations, and Joe Pridey's trainer has said, no, I want to get him over a trip. I want to get him to the mile this preparation to see if he can win a Doncaster. He has that big an opinion of this horse. You've got to be a bit mad to think that, because it's like, what's it like? It's trying to get like Usain Bolt to run like an 800.
That's a good analogy. I get it.
Yeah.
Or is it like for footy people putting a winger into the front row?
Maybe, yes.
Well, then it's not going to win.
No. But Usain Bolt may have been the greatest 800-meter runner ever.
We don't know.
But he never got tested.
He hasn't been trained.
Interesting.
Exactly.
So he's been trained.
He's been trained to be a sprinter
this time around.
Yeah. Drawn the car parks.
I am going to risk him, and I'm going to be backing Militarize, the three-year-old. So I'm tipping Chris Waller and James McDonald to have a massive day like they did last Saturday again. Militarize, a three-year-old. Hopefully he gets a little bit of give in the ground, because he excels when it's probably in that 5 to 6 range. And then I'm going to also have a play on New Energy for Kieran Maher. Jason Collett loved him hitting the line flashing light last time.
Currently 18.
Yeah,
18
I love
and Kovalika,
5. But I'm in the New Energy camp.
Okay.
Fantastic run. We might be going off a run too early, but I reckon if you follow New Energy through the autumn,
you're
going
to pick up something.
You're going to get a win.
Yeah.
All right, I like that. And the last one to finish off, the main race of the day, is the Golden Slipper. Mace has actually got some value for
you guys. Come on, Mace.
What's your tip for
the Golden Slipper? We spoke before and he shut it down. I was excited. I thought he was going to say something. It's fully lit.
You thought I shut it down then. Wait till I shut it down now,
please, and give me another tip. Mace fully lit.
Okay. Mace played for the Bulldogs, he thought it was fully sick.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he was going with it.
I thought I was in Vegas and just fully lit. That's all it was.
So my thoughts on Fully Lit, I would never talk anyone out of any horse. And
you have.
And not, you do.
And not one. Yeah, because it is.
If it wins, you're going to get something, mate.
And it's not, you know, ideally drawn. We'll find the fence, has good positional speed. Stablemate probably comes across, which means its leader's back and gets the run of the race. But here are the buts.
Yeah, give me.
Comes out of a Black Opal. One horse has done a Black Opal Golden Slipper double, and it was a long time ago. I think his name was Catbird. It's not a race that, you know, is generally talked about as a great slipper reference. This horse didn't even win the Black Opal.
Okay.
Ran second to Holmes of Court, who I don't give any chance. So it's long odds and it should be.
Hey, I'm with you.
Whee! Okay.
Well, did he ring my mate up and absolutely hammer him?
Yeah. Very good horse.
Did Storm he miss anything?
But nah, he didn't miss. Did he?
I'm just waiting for a good tip and then I'll be happy.
Well, it'll make for a great second. Like, I'll have to return. Only,
yeah.
If this horse wins, I've got to come back.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
You will have to go and apologise.
I will.
Yes.
Stormboy's a short price favourite. He's $2.10. He's undefeated. He's like, I think Richo, who we work with, he describes him as the 14-year-old big unit who's playing in the under-11s.
Yeah,
like he's the big... Like
Willie.
Willie.
At Toronto West, growing up at Toronto West.
Yes.
He's a Willie Mason of horses. So he's a gun.
He's just a big solid unit. He's a gun. He's going to be hard to beat. I've loved Switzerland, what he's done in these last two starts in particular. I think he'll only improve. Chris Waller trains his horses to peak on the big days.
Yep.
So we know he's going to be peaking Saturday. I've got a soft spot for a filly called Manal. She's drawn the car park though, but she'll be running home super strong late. But I think it probably is a race into Storm Boy in Switzerland.
Yeah.
By soft spot, she means vested interest.
Invested.
Yeah. Well, family trained.
Okay.
And my daughter
yes.
loves her so much. Like she's like a little dog.
I got on Switzerland a couple of weeks ago. I was watching the coverage. Was it last week or the week before when Switzerland raced? And a lot of you thought that it was probably going to be a runaway and be set for this, and it still won well. So how do you? I got nines about it early. It's. You think that's good value?
I
think that's great value.
Yeah.
I think you've done really well there.
Do you think it can be a coin flip, or do you think Storm Boy's that much better?
I think he is the better horse, but I think there's concern that. He's been up and racing for a long time. To do the Magic Millions Golden Slipper doubles really hard to do. That's my only concern, really. Yeah.
Three have done it. Three have done the Magic Millions Slipper double, but it does mean you've essentially got a peak for two grand finals. So, again, from a footy analogy, it'd be pretty tough to do some.
Especially as a young
two, 3 months apart as a two-year-old. And they do turn off as quickly as they turn on. So, Storm Boy is around the $2.10 mark. So win probability, that's 47%. Does he win this Golden Slipper 47% of the time if you ran it 100 times? I don't think so. So he's definitely the best horse, but $2.10 is poison in my opinion, and I'm in the Switzerland camp.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. At $5.
All right.
If you shopped, like, I'm very impressed that you shopped nines. That's very impressive.
Yeah, look,
I didn't do that.
Yeah, it was nice and early, I do it responsibly with nowhere near the money that a lot of the big punters will obviously be doing. But just a little, I just thought it was going to be a two horse race, and it was started at like fives. It blew out to nines after Storm Boy was so impressive early. I think it was after the trial that Storm Boy had,
yeah.
And then it really blew out. And I thought,
yeah,
if it's going to be a two horse race, I might as well get on this now early and see what happens.
Well, but so Switzerland,
it's not always the case though.
No, Switzerland's trying to end this Waterhouse Bot two-year-old extravaganza that they've had. Honestly, they have had two-year-old winners come out and win time and time and time again over the past season. She's looking for her eighth.
All right. So no Storm Boy, no Switzerland. Give me like a roughie, which is not like...
It's not rough.
No agenda or anything like that.
Okay, just no
thinking,
agenda.
No agenda. Just thinking, what's a roughie that someone could just have good value on and it's a chance of winning.
I think Coleman will get a nice run.
Got my doubts.
And I think Lady of Camelot's the best map horse.
Lady of Camelot.
Lady of Camelot was fantastic in the Blue Diamonds, got harassed to within an inch of its life and still ran second to Hayasugi in that. And around $9, each way, I think you'll be in the race a long way.
Maybe Prost in there too. Because he's so versatile.
I reckon he's champagne size.
Yeah, probably.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
That's all right. Sorry. That's all I need to know.
That's another episode for So We Think. Guys, thanks for joining us. Well done, guys. Make sure you chuck in the link the podcast to watch the guys. And thanks for joining us.
Way Overdue.
Way Overdue.
Not the podcast name, the Instagram handle. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Well done, guys.
Let's get into topic one, and topic one is A Tale of Two Halves, written. Newcastle playmaker, this is after the news of Lachie Ilias, but the Ilias news flows into Jason Mitre news, so we'll hit with Newcastle playmaker Jackson Hastings is the latest halfback to play the price for his club's 0-2 start of the season, with the number 7 axe to New South Wales Cup. Hastings, who was a key member of Knights' 10-match winning streak into the finals last year, will be replaced by Jack Cogger. So there was reported news, and then I watched 360 over the last couple of nights on this as well. It was reported that he left training straight away, but he was also given permission after the news from Adam O'Brien, because it was a big decision that he said, if you want to go home, they were apparently doing rehab. So you can go home. Don't worry about the massage. Yeah, go home and set, you know, gather yourself, and then you come back to training. So just on the news with Jackson Hastings, right or wrong call, and if you were given the option in that particular situation, you've never been in this situation before where you've been dropped, so I'll have my opinion after it, but what would you have done in that situation if you sort of considered yourself a leader, and what do you think this is their
if
best spine?
If I'd have got dropped like him.
So first question, is this the best spine that gives the Newcastle Knights the best opportunity to win?
No. I don't think so.
And I agree.
As harsh as we are on Hastings and a lot of people are, and the media are, and all, like, I don't really care about him personally, but like as a player, like, I don't think he is the weak link in that. I think Cogger could play 5-8. I think Gamble should be on the bench. I think it works out better. You know, someone's got to miss out. Mm. Unless they're thinking of the future of that club and they're not looking at re-sign. Is he off contract?
I think he has 2 years left, mate. I think this year and next year he
was signed.
Contracts
don't mean shit, but you know
they don't.
You know what I mean? Like, he could have something else on the table, and then they could be negotiating or something. Like that. Something's going on there. You don't drop your half. You do not drop your half who's not played awful in two games, and you don't drop him after round two. You've got to at least give it five games, and you should be 0-5, and he's the problem. Like, I never looked at Newcastle in the last 2 weeks and went, Jackson Hastings is the problem.
No, neither did I.
No, that's the biggest scapegoat. That's worse than Ilias. At least Ilias wasn't, we'll get to him, he wasn't playing good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hastings wasn't doing anything fucking fantastic, but he wasn't doing anything that bad to say, hey, drop me.
Yeah, before we get to Ilias, I'll also just say, I don't think completely it's his fault, but you're right, he didn't help himself by not having the best first two rounds of the competition.
So Hastings wasn't dropping balls, he wasn't kicking into his own player, he wasn't giving penalties away, like just clean drops, clean drops, fundamentals, boom, get your fucking hands up, you're a halfback. Doing all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Like, and he's another scapegoat for South's disappointing start. But Hastings, you know, being the position that he's in, how he's going to take this will really sort him out, because maybe a younger Hastings would be fucking sooking and getting a release straight away. Mm. This guy can just go, all right, what do I need to work on? What do I need to do? Go back to reserve grade, kill it for a couple of weeks and get his spot back.
So
if not, he'll be out of the club.
So the second part of the question was, what would you have done in that situation? You got offered the opportunity to go home, or would you have gone home, or would you have stayed there, done your recovery, got your massage done? What would you have done in that situation? It's a tough one. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer for it. Mm. How would you have felt?
Depends how sore I was.
Yeah, that's true. That factors in. That legitimately factors in.
Do I have to do this shit? Yeah. Like, am I? I mean, I wouldn't be happy.
A couple of weeks in, you're probably not as sore as you would be if it was 5 or 6 weeks. Yeah.
Last place you want to be when you just got told that.
I don't
hold that against him at all, because if he had the opportunity, it's not like he just did it himself, went, fuck this, I'm going home, I'm done.
Mm.
Adam went, okay, you can stay here, get your massage and stuff like that and do your swim, or you can just go home.
Yeah.
You're probably furious, because he's probably thinking, I don't deserve to get dropped, right? So I'm just going to go home.
Yeah.
He's probably got nothing good to say.
Yeah.
And he probably would have acted up or said something wrong, took the high road, I'm going home.
Yeah, okay. All right, here's my opinion on it.
Yeah.
And everyone, if anyone's watched content over the years, they know I've been pretty critical of him.
Yeah.
And people think it's specifically to do with my relationship with Daly. But this is a thing that's sort of plagued Jackson throughout his career. When I agree with you, everything that you said if you're watching the Newcastle Knights on film, first two rounds, there is no way in the world Jackson is the reason for them being 0-2 on the field. And I've said this before, like, for him on the field, he's got the ceiling of, I genuinely believe, has the ceiling of a top five half in the competition. Now, you agree, disagreed with that top last 10. Year. I think top five his ceiling is, but he's never really had the opportunity because things like this happen. Yeah. And this is like, people think, I had a person message me and they go, oh, you must be pumped Jackson Hastings got dropped. I was like, I messaged him back, bro. I said, nah, like, you've got me all wrong. I said, I'll give my opinion on things that happen in and around the game, relationships, news that I may have. And there's some news that you say and there's some news that you don't say, right? Like, there's some rumors or whatever you hear. But if I hear stuff that may be like secondhand news that I wasn't there, then I'm not going to like say, oh, this happened, he did this at training, or he's got this relationship with players. But if you're a fan of Jackson Hastings or the Newcastle Knights, or you've watched his journey, this stuff happens to him. Like, whatever club he goes to. So I know he does podcasts and he talks about accountability and looking in the mirror and, you know, sort of being a better teammate.
Says the right things.
He says all the right things, but mate, like, at what point if you're just you've been a fan of him, you've followed him for now for a few years, how don't you look at this situation and go, there must be more to it. Like, there must be more to the way he interacts with players. And he talks about it all the time. He says all the right things. But for whatever reason, he still hasn't learned it, because he is not owned, like, outside of Kalen, when I look at the spine, I look at Jack Cogger, Tyson Gamble, Phoenix Crossland, and even Brayley, who's been injured. He's the top of all of them. So he, on talent, he shouldn't be in the team. So there was also some conflicting rumors about him being injured as well. This is like, it's got to get to the point where, even if it's not for him, where it might not be, like, he's not willing to sort of have a look in the mirror and actually be accountable and be the teammate that's required of him, or must just cause these dramas.
I feel like there's something going with just say the players and him. I don't think
I don't want to put that out there because I haven't heard anything.
I just think if the coach is coming up to the leadership group and going, what is going on out there? I've been in teams like this before. You know what I mean? They go, what's the problem out there? There's nothing, there's no this, and this, and this. And where does that come around? The seven.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's the sort of chat that would have had to be in Adam O'Brien's head, going, what the fuck is going on out there?
But that's hard to say that as well, because then you're putting it that the senior players potentially come up.
I'm just saying that's how things usually get down like that.
I think it could factor in with maybe how he is coached, being able to coach as well. So it might not necessarily be a players thing as well. This is just trying to figure out like the history of him. Yeah. He might be really hard to coach. Like, that could be the problem. Where coaches have a specific game plan, Mace, where they go, like, this is exactly how I want you to play. But he might, through his time being successful, like, look at all the teams. Like, he's always been fairly successful to begin with. Like, even his time in Super League, Salford were like, they weren't even a thought process over there. I think they went to a Challenge Cup final during his time. He got Man of Steel, and then he goes to Wigan. I think they make a grand final. So the success follows him, and it followed him to Newcastle last year where they go on a run. But there must be something about either being coachable or being at his communication with the coaches, because there always seems to be a breakdown wherever he goes. And
because
it doesn't take a genius to realize there must be something.
After two rounds, you don't do that unless you've lost the players, or the coach just doesn't fucking like you, mate. It's pretty simple, because he hasn't played that bad. So it's just like, I don't want you in the team because you don't gel with the other players. I don't fucking like you. I don't know what it is. Like, it's a coach's decision, right? Or a player's decision after two rounds. Yep. This is not 10 rounds. You know what I mean? You're not sitting at like 6-4 or 4 and fucking whatever it is, you know, like.
And it's different to Ilias too, because Ilias, it's the same time span, but Ilias, like, they were trending down last year, Souths. So this is like, it's not only two rounds for Ilias. I feel like this pressure has been building from the back end of last year. Where with the Knights, it was the opposite. They were traveling. They've got no real excuse, but their poor start is purely of what they've done in 2024, where I think
they should have won on the weekend. You know what I mean? That was unlucky. Newcastle game against Cowboys. I know they got, but that should have been put to bed. They should have been.
I agree. They should have won that
game. Canberra's like sort of blindsided them and come up there and just, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, you know, two games they could have easily won. It's hitting the panic button way too early from Adam O'Brien.
Mm.
Like, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Unless it's a little bit personal and he's lost the players in the locker room.
Or the coach.
And the coach. After two games. And the coach. Like, and everybody. Like, you know what I mean? The coach talks to everybody. That's what they do. Good coaches would go, what's going on out there? He'd go to individually. Wouldn't be holding a senior players group or anything like that. Yeah. He would just talk to the main players out there. That's what good coaches do. And go, what is going on? And the common denominator would have been him.
Mm.
We're not saying it is him. Yeah. But that would have been that's what the players would have been said. Would have been leaning against him. Was it Gamble's fault? Is it this fault? Is it like the Nines' fault? No. We just don't know what we're doing because he keeps doing this. He does that. He doesn't dig into the line. Kaponga can't get that. Kaponga can't get outside the three man because he doesn't dig in so much.
Mm.
Things like that. Yeah, pisses players off. Cogger will dig into the line.
So there's my next question. Let's get to Cogger, right? So Cogger's the new guy in. Last year when he was signed to the Newcastle Knights, a lot of people would have assumed that Gamble was going to be the player under the most amount of pressure. But really, like for like in playing styles, Jack Cogger's more of a half and more – like when you're looking at it now, was probably always going to put more pressure on Jackson Hastings because they're similar players where there's a specific style. If you do like that with Gamble, then you probably want to play – it wouldn't make sense for Cogger and Jackson Hastings to be playing together, right?
No. So
he was always brought as a backup plan.
He's a lot more liked in the locker room. He's one of the boys. You know what I mean? You've got to be one of the boys in the club, especially if you're a seven and you're running the club, especially up there in Newcastle. You need to be a leader of men 24/7, on and off the field.
Yep.
I'm not sure he's that.
Well, let's get to Lachie Ilias now too. Similar situation. It's a tale of two halves because obviously very similar situations and there's some similarities that go with it. But Lachie Ilias has now been dropped as well.
What would you rather, right? A coach pull the trigger, just say if you're a fan or whatever, coach pull the trigger after two rounds or let it go to about six or seven and you're still fucking awful?
Well,
I think Adam O'Brien's learnt that from last year, what he did with Ponga. Bang, put him back. He left him there for six or seven rounds.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? He goes, this ain't working. Go to one. He ends up winning. Dally M, he kills it, right?
Yeah.
So he's gone, you know what? Two games, this ain't working. I'm not fucking around for six or seven games to be behind the eight ball and then have to win 10 or 11 games in a row. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's gone, okay, this is what I'm going with. Sticking with it. Give you two games, change it. Bang, we'll go for a run here. That's what his mindset is because he fucked up last year with putting Ponga at six and he's learned his lesson.
Okay, yeah. I can understand that. That makes a little bit of sense. That's all hindsight as well, though. You couldn't say – so just say they go on a run now and they might, you know, beat Melbourne on the weekend. We'll preview that game. Or they won't. Just say if they win two games, there's no way of saying whether they would have, you know, lost those games or won those games without Jackson anyway.
But I just think that as a coach, we'll when you like – if you if what happened last year, I'm just thinking in Adam O'Brien's head, like, well, I stuffed around with Ponga for six rounds. We were awful. Fullback. Dally M, playoffs.
Yep. All right, the other one is Lachie Ilias, mate, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, but it's not for star recruit Dally M medal winner Jack Whiten. He will stay in the centres.
Hmm.
Demetrio instead is opting for handy backup Dean Hawkins, who got player of the year in New South Wales Cup last year. How do you see this one, mate?
This is weird. I mean, we said it last year, we've been saying it for a while, and we said it was Sam Walker. Like, is he like the fifth option?
Yeah.
When he's a seven, you got Cook, you got Cody, you've got Cam Murray and Latrell. They're going to get the ball before him. And I watch a lot of things off the ball, right?
Yeah.
Every time, just say they're at the right post, and they could go on a long shift, and then they go right. If Ilias doesn't make a line break or set up a try, watch the body language on most of the players.
Mm.
The key players, I'm not going to point them out. Fuck.
Well, you don't.
All that sort of shit, right? Yeah. And it's like you as a player, just as a young half, you want the backing of your senior players to go, okay, if whatever happens, we stick with it, right? No, like throwing your hands up going, oh, fuck, we should have went left. Obviously, their left side's their best side. But, like, you need to develop Lachie and give him the confidence to go short sides when you have those long fours and he's got that good shape. You know what I mean? Like, he should be able to see that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know.
I'm talking about, right?
I'm thinking about.
I see Cody. I see Latrell. Whenever if they don't get the ball in that long shift where they usually do score and then Lachie might call it and Cookie might go the way, fuck. It's just blow-ups, right?
Yeah. And that's natural. That happens natural at all.
Because just say Shifty used to go some way, you should see the other six, yeah, Braith and Asta.
Yeah.
Fuck's like the end of the world because they're competitive and they see things, right? But it's like, I think this young kid, he's still young, right? He's 21 years old, 22. Mm. He's still developing. He's still developing. So you've got to give him that confidence. Then I look at the other side.
Yep.
He's been dropping fundamental balls. The kick in the back to Talis, even though he probably should have moved. Talis shouldn't be there, but he was there. So fucking move out of the way.
Yep.
And just basic mistakes. And defensively hasn't been that good as well. So like I'm like, he warrants it more than Jackson Hastings.
Yeah, I agree.
He does.
And I like Lachie Ilias too.
And I like Lachie. His ceiling is high, but I just don't – I mean, he got dropped last year and he ended up coming back pretty good. I'm not sure this is good for his growth or his development. No, I would at least given him 10 games. You cannot
– four
as
for
again,
me.
So I think he would have played himself out of this bit of a slump. It's two games, man. You're not in a slump after two games. It's five games.
Yeah, so with him specifically, and if it is on form and it is the – you take a few things into consideration for South. Now, Jack Whiten was their big sign, and apart from that, they don't have many players of note that have improved their team. Lachie Ilias is 23, and he's played
– 60 games?
He's played 54 NRL games because I wanted to know that. So, no, so at the start of the season, before a ball's kicked, he loses Campbell Graham.
How long's he out for? Sorry.
Pretty much a season. Oh, sternum. No. Yeah. Oh. Pretty like close to that you're going to try to get him back at the end of the year. So he loses sternum. Campbell Graham, who's arguably one of the best centers in the game, was knocking on the door for Origin last year. Jack Whiten is still not there. So that left edge, despite it being star studded, hasn't looked as crispy. And what you mentioned there about, you know, not the left edge, the frustration that the left edge are having if they don't get quality ball is they haven't been iced in their plays as well. So that adds to the frustration.
This was happening last year.
As I'm talking about the first two rounds specifically.
Yeah, but even last year they were doing it. Every time he goes, like he's way. Watch what happens.
I know.
But that's natural too for ball players to fucking blow up when they don't get the ball.
Of course. But this adds to the context of him not icing those plays, what you're talking about. So if you do get limited opportunities and you're not icing it, I think the left edge can deal with it, and they have in the past where – remember at the start of the year, they were actually really iced in their plays. You think about that Roosters game, they had a tight game where he does that nice little out into Kalola Mutungi, goes on to play Origin. Campbell Graham was thereabouts because they were actually playing really good footy.
Really good footy.
When it all sort of started to go into shit, specifically around when Campbell Graham got injured, the right edge really struggled and it hasn't really improved since.
He's one of the best defensive centers in the game, man.
The pressure then started to, you know, not only do the left edge want the ball, then they start feeling the pressure to hit because they feel like the right edge isn't hitting. Now, is that fair to Lachie? Mm. Probably not. But my big thing for him, and I would have had this mindset going into round one, start of the year, I felt like he was playing with house money before a ball was even kicked. And what I mean by that is he was always the first player that was going to be under pressure in that club regardless of results, whether it's wins, losses, and whether you think that's fair or not. Latrell is Latrell. Cody Walker's been around. They've both been around and done it for a minute. They've had success and been and played in big games consistently throughout their whole career. Damien Cook is their nine. Cam Murray's the skipper. And we talked about too many cooks in the kitchen, that sort of vibe with the Roosters last year. When you got all these senior players, it's always going to be probably the least capped player or the one without the most runs on the board. So it was always going to be pressure on Lachie. Lachie really should have gone into it with – and what I mean by playing with house money is like, fuck it, I've got nothing to lose. Let's go after this. Whatever the beautiful shape might be to the left, it's almost opposite to Jackson, where Jackson – is the guy that touches the ball more than anyone for Newcastle, and Lachie doesn't. So they're completely different situations.
Because they've got Cam Murray. Because Cam Murray's the one who does the block plays.
And Cody.
And then someone's out the back. You know what I mean? He's never really the guy out the back or anything.
Yeah,
you know?
So my thing was Lachie should have gone after it in the first two rounds and gone, fuck it. Like if we lose, it's going to be me anyway. And then because
Kalola Mutungi gets you early ball, boy. Let's go.
That was the last part of it, and I was going to finish off with. Kalola Mutungi didn't even play on the right. He went over to the left round two. Cam Murray should have been playing through the middle. They stuffed up there like we talked about in the review, and Cam Murray ends up playing right edge back row. Now, Cam Murray's a great player. He can play anywhere, but it's not going to help out a young half's development to have a guy who's predominantly playing middle and is a way better middle playing on your right edge. So
with the coaching there, like JD, you know what I mean? Like he's probably going to cop a fair bit soon, right? I think he's lost the dressing room with the players there. I don't think he can tell. He can't tell Cody and Latrell what to do. You know what I mean? And this is what I was talking to. Had a good chat with Rennie yesterday. He's like, it's hard being like an assistant coach, right? Mm. I think he was an assistant coach for 10 years. Yep. Yeah, he done his due diligence. He's been around the block and everything like that. Spoken really highly of. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was under Wayne Bennett for a couple of years. Wayne Bennett leaves him with the team, you know. And then most assistant coaches, like Neil Henry, remember? Neil Henry was one of the best assistant coaches. Everyone loved him.
Mm.
Then got to the first grade position and their whole demeanor changes.
Yeah.
Some players can't cope with that. It's like
Some players can't cope with it.
Some coaches can't deal with it because they're all the Mr. Fun loving. You know, you don't have to do the press conferences. You don't have to do anything. You're just fucking having a good time being assistant coach.
You do video, individual video.
You have a bit of fun, everything with the boys. And next minute, you've got to be you're the one with the microphone here, sitting in the presses, depressors.
Depressor. Right?
Especially when you're losing. And it's not good. So your demeanor changes. And then you're like, the locker room's probably going, what the fuck is wrong with him?
It's the pressure that changes.
Yeah, it's the pressure, right? So you change your demeanor, everything gets more serious, you know, jokes, everything like that, and where you're used to – because they had him there for 3 years as the assistant coach, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
At least a couple of years.
Those players are there, they're going, the fuck is wrong with you?
Mm.
Why are you dropping this and you're doing that and you're not talking to anyone and all that kind of stuff? It's like, it's not good. There's the difference between guys like Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy and all these super coaches, right?
Yeah. How do you flick a switch on that stuff then? Because this is a genuine question because it's not easy.
And it's not easy, right?
Yeah,
and yeah. Robbo from the Roosters, Robbo, he done it well. But he was overseas, right? And then he came over here and got the job straight away in 2010.
Robbo would have been assistant coach for Brian Smith back in the day at the Roosters and then went over and had a crack.
Catalans.
I think coaches in the – no, I was just going to say coaches in the modern day that have gone over. Like Ivan Cleary, Trent Robbo, they've all just gone straight into first grade and been okay, haven't they? Yeah. Well, not straight in.
Robbo had success straight away, 2013. Yeah. He won the comp.
Yep.
You don't really know everyone's journey, like the Bellamy's and all those kind of stuff. But Bellamy was assistant coach.
Ivan would have been under Gus at the Roosters, and Sticky was assistant coach under Sticky.
He would have been somewhere there.
Yeah.
Because he debuted in 2006. I didn't know he was that early, like 2006 coaching debut.
Yeah.
But guys like Craig Bellamy was the assistant coach to Wayne.
Wayne for years.
Fucking years.
He was a trainer at first, wasn't he?
He was the trainer, yeah. Then he was the coach. So he was on our Kangaroo tours 2002, 3, 4, like in those mid before he went to Melbourne.
Yep.
He was the assistant coach to Wayne.
Yeah.
And he was a player at Wakefield, you know what I mean? He played most of his career over there and then he went on the big coaching, went everywhere, you know? So he's done his course and everything like that and his due diligence and he's done his time, right? And then he comes from that.
Apprenticeship
is the word, yeah. Comes under the tutelage of Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett hands him the keys of the Ferrari, you know what I mean?
And then
his demeanor must have changed.
Just on that. And I think there's a really bad record of coaches that follow Wayne.
Yeah, I told you that, mate. He doesn't. He's very smart.
Well, do you think it's smart? But do you just think it's the pressure that's following one of the greatest coach of all time?
There's a lot of pressure there
because it's the fan bases.
Yeah,
you know, mate, if you don't get results early,
Newcastle, would he leave it with Rick Stone? Sacked after 1 year, then they got 3 wooden spoons.
Yep. Who was the Dragons?
Dragons.
Mary.
I think it was Mary. Yeah.
Was it Mary?
Someone like that.
Yeah.
Like,
we should have done more.
Griffin or something.
Apologies. We should have done more research on this, but we're just spitballing here.
It is common knowledge that Wayne, whoever he leaves in charge after him, is not that good a coach because he doesn't want success after him.
Because
that's what happens when you're the kid.
Do you think he's that smart?
I fucking guarantee it.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee it's like that.
Yeah.
They're like, look, Sir Alex Ferguson from Manchester. Who do you leave in charge? They haven't won fucking anything since. Yeah. Those guys that are up the top, the kings of the coaches, they do not leave their predecessors nothing.
I just think it's just natural that you're always like, if you lose a great coach, it's always going to be tough for the next coach regardless.
But he left them a decent team.
The team was, you're right. Yeah. The team was solid.
Yeah. He didn't take anyone. He planned on taking Latrell or Cody or Cookie.
He tried
to because he thought he would have got one of them.
Yep.
But he didn't. They stayed loyal.
Trell Mitt wasn't plan B, remember?
Yeah, Trell Mitt.
All right, but this part of it as well, this adds to the Jason Demetrio pressure that Josh Mansell did a podcast on the bye round with James Graham and basically he talked about a few conversations that he had with Jason Demetriou, which we're alluding to now, that sort of happened a lot with players. And he got copped some criticism from Vossi and Brandy specifically on Monday, talking about Brandy's comments were, why do people go on podcasts and feel the need to tell all? It's a non-story. And Vossi wrote, it's a pile-on towards Jason Demetriou. Josh Mansell replied on X, what pile-on? I was simply asked a question and I answered it from my own personal experience. I never once critiqued his coaching ability. Absolute hypocrisy coming from these two who apparently have never criticized a player or coach. Now, I'll give you an example of what we're talking about with assistant coaches that go to head coaches. And I had this happen to me in 2015. Mace, you weren't like, you were never dropped. So I've got a similar story to Mansell, where in 2015, to start the year for Manly, I knew the writing was on the wall. You can see it in preseason. I'd gone from, you know, grand final 2013, 2014, started majority of the games, but I also felt it, you know, dropping away at the back of 2014. Toofs calls me. These are the sort of conversations. If you haven't seen the podcast, go look at the specific podcast to see Josh Mansell's discussions that he had with Jason Demetriou. But I had it with Toofs, who was same situation, assistant coach and trainer underneath Desi for a while. So Toofs calls me in before round one and he goes,
started round one, sorry.
No, New South Wales Cup. He goes, you're going to be playing New South Wales Cup this year. Mind you, Glenn Stewart and Anthony Watmo had.
I was there, remember?
For people that don't know, Anthony Watmo and Glenn Stewart had moved on as well. So I was one of the remaining three back rows left in the spot. So I completely lost my spot, not only on the bench, all the way out of the team. And I was, you know, like deep down, like at the time, I was still frustrated. So I hit him back with, like, all right, well, what's the reason? And he goes, oh, we need more versatility on the bench. So it was one of those. It didn't make sense because my last game playing for Bulldogs against the Bulldogs the year before, I was playing hooker. And then in certain games leading to the back end of the season, I played hooker against the Bulldogs in the semi-final.
How good's that?
But I would also play in centres, back row, lock, wherever they need me. So, like
– versatile.
I was probably as versatile as it comes. Yeah. The reality of the situation was, and I knew deep down, I'd got complacent. I'd got, you know, I hadn't been doing the right things at training. I'd probably sinking too much piss after games. We were winning games. We were traveling. My performance had dipped. And deep down I knew, and this is the tough conversations that coaches struggle to have with players sometimes. Like Tu said he needed versatility. I was arguably the most versatile player that he had in the forward pack.
Just be honest.
Or I'd use. So like being able to have those conversations when like deep down now I'm older. At the time I'm like fucking 28 years old. I've got one more year left on my contract. So I was fucking furious. Yeah. And I imagine this is the same as what Mansell would have been like. But these situations happen a lot, right? And this is what this is what Vossi and Brandy are alluding to. And Brandy might not have gone through this, so he can't relate. So when people tell these sorts of stories, same as you, Mace, like if you haven't been dropped or you don't know what that feeling's like, then like don't go judging Josh Mansell because he's asked a question from James Graham. Yep. This podcast would have been filmed before round one too, I'd imagine, because me and you have both done Jammer's podcast. Yeah. It drops 3 weeks after.
Yeah.
So
get your editing done quicker, mate. Get a Lukey Stowe in you.
Shout out Charlie and Jammer because they load up on their guests, as you know.
Shitload,
they do like three or four guests sometimes in the same week and then they drip feed them. Anyway, so that's where that's wrong as well with the pile on comment from Vossi. But yeah, so that's my situation with it. And like Josh Mansell would know as well. He wasn't playing great and he wasn't necessarily saying that he deserved a spot. It's just the communication that comes with it. And that goes back to the communication we're talking about with coaches. Like if Toofs realistically should have said, and I had this here's another example. Right? I just thought of this on the run. I got dropped at the start of 2012 as well. So basically every 3 years I got dropped after round one. That's like it happens. And it happened at Wakey as well. But Mooks was just like, it just wasn't good enough. Your performance wasn't good enough, like across the board.
Yeah.
He goes, I need more from you. He gave me a few details and despite me not wanting to hear that, it was actually the thing that I needed to hear. And he didn't have the – so it doesn't necessarily mean the coaches, like he didn't have the greatest record with us as well or as a head coach. But at least I knew like he sort of looked me straight in the eyes and said, like your performance isn't good enough. I'm making a change.
You respect that a lot more.
Right? I did at the time. No, I was still – sorry, I was pissed off and I didn't agree with it at the time. But now life after – as we moved down – both occasions I knew I could have played better. I should have been doing more. I knew it was a – There was the potential of me getting dropped for both occasions because, like I said, with twos, I wasn't playing good at the back end of 2014. But the frustrating thing for me is I ripped in that preseason and I was feeling really good. I actually had a really good end to the back end of the season.
You surprised me. I thought you were our back rower.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Was it Buer and Tommy Simons?
No, it was Tommy Simons on the right. Filletti on the left.
And the lock was?
And Leary. Leary got over me on the bench as well.
Who was the lock, bud?
Jimmy Buer. Jimmy Buer.
Yeah, with
I think so. I think that was the lineup. But it's not like a poor me or whatever that happened because I know deep down now, like I wasn't playing well enough and I dropped my standards at the back end of 2014. Yeah. But it's just another example of communication that can be given to players that can better help players. And that I believe it's the difference between good coaches, Wayne Bennett's, Craig Bellamy's,
But they'll give you warnings, right? Like if you played one or two bad games, Wayne would be like, hey, come in.
Okay.
This is what you need to work on.
I never got that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the difference between all the great coaches.
Okay, that's another part
of it. And good coaches and then the average coaches, right?
Mm.
It's people skills. Wayne can look anyone in the eye, sit across the room from me and just say, this is what you need to work on, X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, I'm going to put you back to reserve grade. They're the conversations he has weeks before he even drops you.
Okay.
So he gives you an opportunity. So you don't get blindsided and going, you're not playing this week, Ilias, Lachlan. There's no fucking working on you. Work. You know, two games and you drop. Hastings, two games, you drop. You're not getting told what to work on. Imagine giving him another 2 weeks going, you're on the chopping board, Lachlan. So you're on the chopping board, Jackson. If you don't give me – I'll give you 2 weeks to be the best player there. I bet you would have fucking changed their whole fucking game.
Okay.
Because they would have been the best two players in the next 2 weeks because they know their livelihood and their reputation, their pride's on the line. That's the difference.
Do you think it's a different – do you think he would have given – because he made two big changes for round two as well with Sean O'Sullivan. He was the starting halfback. He brings in Katoa.
And it fucking works, doesn't it?
It did. Do you think he would have gave
– He would have said, Sullivan, you got one chance.
Okay.
Because he's had 1,000 chances. He's not a vet. He's not a seasoned vet or anything like that. We'll give you one chance. Okay. There you go.
There's a
difference, right?
So if you're a more experienced player, you got a few more runs on the board, maybe he comes up to you and goes, pull your fucking head in.
That's what he does.
Okay.
Like he's done that with a lot of other, even senior players, you know. He'll give you like, even just say middle of the range going, all right, well, you got 2 weeks, otherwise you could be playing reserve grade and then I'll bring you back up. Yeah. They're the conversation. You respect that. And Vossi's saying, what would he say, like, why does he have to players go on podcasts?
Because
Brandy.
Yeah.
Because it's a platform where people can open up. You're not going to sit on the fucking Channel 9 or Fox Sports or anything like that. You don't ask all these questions. All you ask is shit questions to players. Podcasts are here so they can say their opinion because it's a conversation, Brandy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So like that's why if you ask them a question, they're going to sit there and open up because it's a conversation. It's not an interview. You know what I mean? So that's why Mansour felt the need to answer the question. He was just being honest.
He felt comfortable. Yeah.
He didn't. And Jim is a great interviewer.
Yeah,
he'll ask
really
these
good.
Questions where he can, you know, he'll segue into all that kind of stuff. He'll understand. He understands the history of what happened there. And then he wanted Source to come out and just say, this is what happened. How do you get called out of fucking named in the side and then get called in captain's run and say you're not playing?
Yeah.
Things like that would rub a player, any player, the wrong way.
Yep.
The way Source handled it was like a fucking proper OG. Respect to him. Because any other player would not handle it like that.
Well, he did say his head fell off and you can understand like, why.
Well, I don't think he didn't. You know, some players are getting in the coach's grill.
Yeah.
If it's like that, you don't do captain's run and think that you're not playing the next day.
Yeah.
So he just explained that. You know what I mean? So like Mansour, I love that. I love that podcast.
Yeah,
well done, Jammer, and well done, Mansour. But that's what – hey – the landscape's changing, boys.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's fucking podcasts. No one's do we watch Channel 9 or Fox or anything like that or listen to fucking Triple M and hear any decent interviews? They're only just analysing the game.
Yeah, it's a different the difference between and like Brandy's an older player as well. And look, I work at SEN too. They do the morning shows. I do some work for them. It's a different conversation because it's a different demographic that you're talking to as well.
Yeah.
Like podcasts, we talked about the swearing situation. We swear a little bit on here. You couldn't do that. I don't do that on SEN because we're not allowed to do that on SEN. When I get guests on for SEN a fair bit, but I ask them very generic
questions because it doesn't bother you.
Well, I'm very careful with relationships with media managers and the way the clubs are perceived. So you've got to be careful with what questions you ask and make it as PC as possible because
It's boring as shit radio. That's why.
I do radio. There's a different.
Worst 3 hours of my life.
It's a different audience as well. So you got to take that into consideration. But when you do podcasts, it depends on the comfortability that the guest has gotten. Jammer does his homework. Mm. He works really hard. Like some of the stuff that he brought up in the pre-podcast when we sit and just having a chat, I was like, oh, shit, I didn't know you knew that stuff. So if you put in the work as a podcast host, you get really good detailed answers.
That's why he gets those answers, and he's a very easy man to talk to.
All right, mate, let's get on to a couple of – well, the two biggest names on the market, we mentioned them at the moment, are brothers, Terrell and Taylor May. Mm. Terrell playing for the Sydney Roosters, Taylor playing for the Penrith Panthers. Now, it has emerged as the new club that's favourite to sign both of them because it is believed that they want to be signed as a package. Terrell May come out on the Bloke in a Bar podcast and said that he basically wants to play with his brothers. So there's been a bit of a hold-up, I believe, with these negotiations while these brothers and managers and clubs figure out how they get them together. Now, the club that's apparently favourites now to sign them, even though the Roosters are really close to re-signing Terrell apparently, is the Dragons. Now, Shane Flanagan, he hasn't been gun-shy in attempting to woo talent to the club over the past few months and are keen to have another crack at a talented forward contract off contract at season's end, and they're happy to chat with Taylan as well. Where do you think the May brothers end up? And I guess so the perceived money that they've been talking to clubs about is Taylan wants – they were both wants apparently roughly around 500K. Taylan's 22 years old, Terrell's 24, and Tyrone is also playing in the UK for Hulk AR, and they all want to play together. So I'm not too sure what his price would be, but do you think the Dragons would be interested in signing Tyrone if it meant they could get Taylan and
Terrell?
I think the
hold-up is the older brother because the shit that happened at Penrith. I swear to God, that'd be it, because you're looking at one of those two other brothers, and if that shit didn't happen a couple of years ago – not even going to mention it. Like, I think all three brothers would be signed by now, by any club.
Yeah, because they're on.
Because you've got to be willing to put up with that shit from the fans, from your fan base members, all that kind of stuff. Other teams, all that sort of shit. So if a club's ready to and willing to forgive and forget, then they'll get all three.
What about the young ascending talent specifically of Taylor and Terrell?
I fucking love those two.
Like 500K, are you happy to pay overs? Do you see the trajectory of those players? So like it's 500K is a lot of money, but it depends the way you look at it. Both these two players are at really good clubs that are probably going to be successful this year, going to go really deep into the competition.
A lot of average players on 600 or 700, mate.
So are you willing to throw an extra, just say if it's been reported that they want 500. If you're a Dragons team, do you go 1.2?
How old is Youngkin from the Roosters?
Terrell May's 24.
He can bust out like 70 minutes in the middle.
I think he played 60 straight on the weekend.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can't say he could probably play 80 if you push him, right? He's got a big motor. Because you give him good minutes, obviously. Good hit-ups, finds his front, tackles well, doesn't miss any, very effective.
That's top-tier front row.
That's top-tier front row, and he's 24. So that's where he's coming into his peak right now. So if you can get him for 500, fucking get
it.
It's
a steal.
It's a steal. Mm. I'm not saying he's going to play Origin or anything like that. I don't know that sort of ceiling, but I know he's going to be a genuine 10-year player as your front rower.
Mm.
He's come through a great system at the Roosters, taught all the right things with Hargraves, Lindsay Collins, he's got Spencer Lenu there.
Yeah.
You know, like iron sharpens iron, always say they would be going at training all the time.
Specifically with big boys, it does.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to get a big man who can play that many minutes and be a really effective defender and everything like that. And he's got that. And he's only going to get better. He's only played 14, 15 games.
And you seen on the weekend, you wanted Jared to start, but he's forcing Robbo's hand. He's playing that well that Robbo has to play him. And not only does he play, I believe he played the first 60 minutes before he got a spell.
He fucking didn't come off.
Yeah.
I was like, when's this big boy going to come off? He's got a good motor, man. So like, that's what you want from – that's the only knock on some of these young kids.
Mm.
They can't get more than 10 or 15 minutes out in the middle if you're talking about the younger kids that I was talking about with the Bulldogs or anyone who's playing in that level. You can't bring a kid up from flag. It's hard to get a big boy and just go, here, you're ready for first grade.
In first grade, you've got to be able to play a minimum of 30 if you want to be considered elite.
Yeah,
a minimum. Like to be
in one stint.
Be considered an elite front row. What about Taylan, mate? Same thing.
Yeah. He's a gun. Mm. I like both of them. They're worth whatever they're asking the market.
500?
Yeah, it's not much, man.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
fucking
either. Big in 2005.
Yeah.
Nothing now. You're talking guys on 1.2, 1.3 mil.
If you could get him for a package of 1.2 for both of them, 6-6, fuck, that's a good deal. Play, lock him up for 3 or 4 years too.
Yeah.
Like, if you, that's going to be fucking unders in a couple of years. I see their projections for both of them being elite.
They're like that. They're like that. You know, I know a lot of average players, man. I know they're on about 600 or 700.
Yeah, very, there are some.
Very average players.
Yeah. All right, mate. Speaking of Taylor May, his team is the team that's up first on Thursday night. We have the Penrith Panthers versus Brisbane Broncos, and there are some big outs in this game, mate. So the two big boys are missing from the front. James Fisher-Harris is out. Lindsay Smith goes into the starting lineup. And onto the bench comes Luke Garner. That's the big change. James Fisher-Harris succumbs to that injury. As for the Broncos, they also lose their big boy and their skipper and half. So Jock Madden is the new name that's replacing Wren. And we've got Fletcher Baker into the starting lineup. And we finally get to see our man Xavier Willison, who comes onto the bench there, mate.
Yes.
Our friends and partners at the tab. I'm just getting the odds now. One sec.
Penrith's got to be favourites, isn't it?
Yep. Penrith are favourites at $1.27. The Brisbane Broncos are $3.80. And the line is 10.5. Mace.
Big.
It is the 2023 grand final replay, but Suns, huge players, mate. Suns front rowers.
Payne Haas.
Suns and forces.
Zero. I would have loved to see Fisher Harris and Payne Haas and Leota and that go at it. But missing fucking Adam Reynolds is the main one as well, mate. He's their little general. He gets them around the park. Jock Madden's had some good games, but he's not Adam Reynolds. Ezra Mann needs to step up proper.
Yep, for sure.
But like, they're front rowers. I think they're going to get they'll get dominated in the pack. Corey Jensen, Fletcher Baker, they're decent players. But Leota, he surpassed Fisher Harris? They're on par, man. They're on par. Yeah. Moses is right there with him.
Yeah.
Great. They're the two best 1-2 punch in the game.
Yep.
Lindsay Smith's a big body. He does a good job. Similar body build to Fletcher Baker. The back row's pretty even. You know, like Carrigan and Yeo, two best locks in the game. Ricky and Martin, pretty good back rows. Piakura, Sorensen. That's a pretty even back row there. So I'm going to go. I'm leaning towards Penrith because Payne Haas is simply the best forward in the game, and Adam Reynolds is a top five half. He just kicks that good and controls that team. Too big a loss.
You're losing 20 carries and basically like 220 minutes.
If Cleary was out, then it'd be even. I'd be going, oh shit, what's going to happen?
Okay. So what about the start though, mate? 10.5. Do you think Penrith are going to beat him by more than 10.5?
Big
number. Yeah. Okay.
No, not massive. Like something 14, I reckon. Okay. 13 plus.
All right. Sweet. Just enough. Maybe a little bit of late tries.
Okay. Just to really dig it in.
I'm going to go the Broncos with the start, mate. Not head to head. I like the 10.5. I think this game is going to be a real defensive battle. I think this is going to get very physical, despite being a few players that are missing right in the meat and potatoes of the forward pack. I'm expecting a big game from two players from the Broncos. Paddy Carrigan, what he does without Payne Haas, whether he's able to get that same momentum, he really gets his other forwards involved. And then Ezra Mamm. He's had a very interrupted first couple of weeks for him.
Yep.
He's looked a little bit – I think he was carrying a niggling injury coming into the season that hasn't helped now.
Okay.
If we are to see the projection and the money that he just got to be a star moving forward, this is a great opportunity for him to really take on the game. So I'm going the Broncos with 10.5 start. And if Ezra Mamm's having a game, therefore – I'm hoping Selwyn Cobbo has a game.
What's that pay?
Try scorer.
For to start, what's that pay?
As in to start. Yeah. It's $1.90 either way all the time. Yep. So what you do is it's a coin flip. The handicap is always to bring in the other team that you perceive that is going to struggle or be a little bit further away.
Right.
So I'm going to Broncos, mate, and my anytime try scorer is Selwyn Cobbo. And at the tab, I think this is very juicy. Despite I don't think there's going to be many tries scored, but I did nail it last week at Penrith with Sean Lane. I got some value. I got Selwyn Cobbo, $4.50. He's been breaking so many tackles and been thereabouts over the first couple of weeks without being able to ice a try. So
he's looking dangerous. Very dangerous.
Maybe Selwyn can get one for us. All right, mate, moving on to Friday. We've got the Warriors at home to the Canberra Raiders. Relatively unchanged except for a big in. Well, he was named last week and then didn't play. Wade Egan in the nine jersey. Yeah. That swayed your decision last week, Mace. It'll probably sway your decision again in this, I'm gathering. Other than that, it looks to be as per last week. And as for the Raiders, they lost the winger. No, they lost Sebastian Crist to a HIA. Oh,
okay.
So Albert Hopewadi moves from the wing into the centres where he played round one. Nick Kotrick is the new guy on the wing. And they get Elliot Whitehead back into the back row with Zach Hoskin, the unfortunate casualty.
That sucks. He's been the best. He's been one of the best players in the comp. I said last week, Elliot Whitehead, highly respected down there.
Correct.
And he's a gun. So Zach has to earn his stripes down there. I can't see the Warriors going 0-3. I can't.
Mm.
But that team's a bunch of dogs over there. And they're full be a of good confidence. I'm going to go the Warriors simply because I just don't see them going 0-3. They should have won last week. You know, like they've showed so much potential. I hope it's not one of these years where they just keep getting beat like that, turning up and playing good for 60 minutes and the other side just getting them at the end or, you know what I mean? Like even that Cronulla game. Cronulla game's first 20 minutes I've ever seen, the best I've ever seen the Warriors play.
Mm, I agree.
And I was just like, these guys they are look like unstoppable. They look like they're going to win by 40. Yeah. End up getting run over by Cronulla, out-physicaled in the middle. Then last week, they were down 18-6. They showed some resilience, got back into the lead, then lost an 8-point lead with 7 minutes to go. It's fucking not good signs.
Mm.
But I'm thinking home ground, Friday night,
desperate.
drums pumping.
They're going to black it out.
I hope they black it out, and I think they might get Canberra. But Canberra is that yucky team that you just don't want to play right now.
Well, I think you're going to agree with me on this, then.
I could be swaying myself.
I like the plus 7.5. Yeah. I don't feel like Warriors are going to blow them out. What do you think?
No way. Yeah. No one's blowing Canberra out.
Do you like the plus 7.5 for a start with the Raiders? Yeah, so do I, mate. For a lot of the reasons, I think this is going to be a dogfight. The best players for these teams are when they're playing well through the middle. That's why I'm going another roughie to start. Start around three, I'm going some value. I got the Raiders plus 7.5. And my anytime try scorer, and I think there are going to be some tries through the middle for both teams, I'm going Joseph Papenee.
I was looking at him. I knew you were going to go. He's been close. He's been running really good lines there. Big Papa, especially when he's been starting. I'm looking at that forward pack now. Papa, Levi, Papenee, Huddy Young, Whitehead, Smithies. That's a fucking bunch of dogs. Fanua, Blake, Egan, Barnett, Ford, Capewell, Tauhu, Harris. This is a very, very even game, mate. This is killing me.
I am going to be back in a couple of – I think that's going to be played through the middle. I think this is going to be a proper dogfight, and I'll be back in a couple of the middles, responsibly, of course. Maybe a little play, a little $10 there. But I like Tarps, and I don't mind adding Michie Barnett in this game as well. Yeah. I think they're going to want to play front door. So I think that's good value for a little any time if you're gambling responsibly.
Usually the 6 o'clock Friday game sucks. It's not a bad game.
There's
never a bad game.
Not this early in the year. Every team thinks they're a shot. Love it. Well, this one probably would have been the game for most people for the game of the round. The Sydney Roosters are at home to the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Allianz Stadium. A few changes for both teams with who
seven,
was dropped.
Obviously.
No. Oh, yeah, sorry. Luke Keary's out. Sander Smith comes in for the Roosters.
Yeah.
I knew there was a change in the back line there somewhere. Luke Keary, HIA last week. And your man Siwa Wong was dropped, Mace. Nat Butcher comes into the starting lineup. And Angus Crichton and Connor Watson move on to the bench. So Connor Watson will be covering Sandon Smith, who plays the 4-8 normally, and Angus Crichton is the new name in the 17 jersey. Look at the extended bench for the Roosters. Michael Jennings, Egan Butcher, Billy Smith, Zach Docker-Clay, and Siwa Wong.
Janko's back. Good. You know he's on 299.
Is he?
Get him his first. Get him his 300. He deserves it.
He'll get it.
Yeah, Siwa Wong.
I didn't know he was on 299.
Yeah, he's on 299.
As for the Rabbitohs team.
Yeah, Hargraves is 300. Yeah. Well done, big boy. That's fucking massive. Yeah, that is props, huge. Mate. Well done, big man. It's fucking he's been around the game since 2009. I think he debuted with Manly.
I think so,
And he's just been a tearaway ever since.
Mm.
And what a great role model off the field as well. He's a fucking great man, great father, great role model for the Roosters. On and off the field, he hasn't done anything wrong. All he's done is play the game hard and fair.
Tell you what, when he has done some wrong, it's on the field. So to get 300, to get 300 games with being suspended by 50 games or whatever it's been. No, he probably hasn't even been suspended as that. Have a look at how many times Jared Rory Hargraves has been suspended.
He hasn't been suspended as much as the Donsky.
You might be, the Donsky's the OG. The
Donsky's 70 games.
No way it's 70 games.
I think it's 70.
Greg Bird, I think, is up there. Birdie's up there.
I think it's Luke O'Donnell, and I played with those two psychos. And I can see why.
As for the Rabbitohs, a couple of changes. Obviously, we talked about Lachie Ilias. Dean Hawkins comes in for him as the halfback. And they also made a change to the edge, moving Cam Murray back to the middle. Jacob Hoste comes onto the edge. And who misses out because of that? One of the big boys, Shaq Mitchell, is out of the squad now. So,
yeah.
How do you see this game going, mate?
I think it's hard. I reckon it's very hard. A pissed off Latrell, which I think he is very, very dangerous. Souths have got that team to beat anyone on their day. Usually. But then I'm looking at this forward pack, right? And I'm looking at Hargraves and Lindsay Collins, Nat Butcher, Tupanua, Victor Radley.
Mm.
You know, Jacob Hoste, Kaloma Tungi, Murray, Moale, Totola, Cook. I think the Roosters, just with I know how much respect and how much he holds there at the Roosters with Jared playing his 300th. I think they'll go to that extra level. Latrell just fucking turns one on by himself, him and Cody, and puts a clinic on. But they are very good defensively out wide, the Roosters.
Have you played with anyone in big, massive milestones? I've played behind his 300th game. It actually takes a lot out of you all throughout the week.
I get it because it's all testimonials and all that sort of shit. I don't know.
We weren't the Grouses team to begin with that year, obviously. That was 2011.
Heap of 250s and 200s and heap of those.
Yeah, it's quite an emotional build-up. There's pros and cons to it is my point.
Yeah, well, Melbourne's the best at milestone games. Yeah, they never get beat. The Roosters haven't really had any 300 games apart from Mini, I think. Mini's probably their only one.
Orbo?
Maybe Orbo.
Did Orbo get 300?
I think so, maybe. But Hargraves, he holds a different energy in that team, man. Yeah. I think, and especially because he's in the middle. He controls the energy.
Yeah, okay.
He gets out there and he plays as hard as him. So when you see the big boy going at it, straight at Totola's chest, straight at Moale and everything like that and pumping everything, you're going with him.
Mm.
When you're a fullback and stuff like that, you don't control the narrative. You don't control the energy. You don't do anything. Halfbacks, all that sort of shit. Heine was probably sitting on an edge his whole fucking... for about 30 minutes, not getting a hit up.
Don't get Heine. Heine.
You know we love you, Heine. You know what I mean? It's different. But when you're in the middle, when you control that sort of shit, he's going to go after it. He's 300th game. It's a fucking big thing.
I don't think
the Souths are playing that well.
You might remember this before we move off quickly. You should have seen how we lost that game too. We played Penrith. And that was when they spread it back side to side to side, put in a grubber kick from one side of the field, and Michael Jennings scored on the hood of the Peters. That was his 300th, bro. was his 300th. Yeah. So, the tab have got the Sydney Roosters favourites, $1.65. Souths are $2.25. The line is 3.5, Mace, which is a very tough line for all the punters
Roosters.
Out there.
Roosters all the way.
It's under a try. You basically think that it could be a penalty goal or a field goal in it if you do take Souths.
Roosters 13 plus.
Roosters 13 plus.
Yeah. I think it's going to be. I reckon they'll be pissed off. The start of the year hasn't been that good.
Whenever you do this, you always throw me because you're pretty decent at these. Yeah. When I think that it's a crazy statement, they always end up hitting.
Yeah. I know they're a little bit down and you can just, Jack White and being back, the combinations ain't going to be there. You know what I mean? It's up to Latrell and Cody Walker.
Okay.
What I mean? And their defense on that right edge is fucking top notch, the Roosters. They don't really go right.
Joe Manu's edge.
Yeah. He's fucking good luck getting around him.
It'll be, still Sam Walker on that edge.
And then you've got who's the winger there? Dom Young. Yeah. AJ usually skins him. He's fucking fast. Very fast and very long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Tommy trying to get
him
over
you
want to
get over
the top?
He's knocking that shit down. They'll check, release. You know, Joey Manu's one of the best defenders in the game. Don't let that slip. And they're not really going to go right.
You wouldn't think so.
No. Well, what are you going to do? Then
you've got to deal with
Joey Akuso Suali'i and Toops.
But then you've got Sandon Smith, probably more of a target than...
Yeah, he's going to be a target. So you've got to go at the edges there. Mm. That's where the combinations between...
Got to go at the halves.
Cam Murray and his back rollers have got to come into play, right? when he's got to go at Sandon Smith or Sam Walker. That's where your joy's going to be, with hosts running those lines, Cam Murray running those block plays, getting, letting him do his overs, squaring up, and it's always on the outside of those posts. Those plays that South did last week, yep, that play is always on.
Havili play.
So watch out, and you don't think Roosters be doing any fucking – the Roosters will be doing video on that all week, and that's what I said last week, last time on Monday. It's about the spaces, right?
Yep.
You be spaces, and they got an OG pack, right? They don't usually get caught like that, but that's going to be their plays. That's where they'll score tries. You're not going to go around. You're not going to go around the Roosters.
Yep.
Go fucking on the edge. You're not going to go through the teeth of them either. You hardly ever do that against teams. You got Lindsay. You got J.R. Hargoes. You got Brandon Smith, who hits you hard. And you got Victor Radley. It's just a little bit wider of that. That'd be the game plan anyway.
All right. I'm on South's plus 3.5, and I expect a bounce back from a couple of people that we mentioned. Yeah. I'm going Cody Walker anytime for $4. Yeah. I think it's a game that, now that Lachie Ilias has been dropped, a lot of pressure now starts to filter into the senior players. I said all the pressure was on Lachie. Now he's done.
Yeah.
Now you start to feel the pinch as a senior player.
Mm.
All right, mate. The next game, mate, is your Dogs versus Titans at home at Belmore. And this is my Levels Best Friend special. Not going fully against you this week, mate.
But you did. You won last week.
13. No, I didn't. Nico Hines didn't score.
But
Nico,
you got him 13 plus?
I had 13 plus.
Was that all into one?
It has to multi up together. So for this week, mate, I'm going the Dogs Titans total points unders 44.5. I think both these two teams, Titans without a win in only one game, Dogs without a win in their two games, I think they're going to really tighten up and want to win this game in a defensive battle. I know what Desi's like. I know what Kemp Serrata's background is like. Mm-hmm. So let's go under 44.5, but I love the young Terryway on the wing for the Gold Coast Titans. And this is very reliant on if Kieran Foran ends up playing.
He's playing.
Lafiana Camperera to score in the first 60 minutes. Now, you can get a price of $6 from our traders at the tab with a max bet of $25. And remember, you can find that in the Levels Bets Friends channel on the tab app. So come and jump
in. I'm backing my boy Blake. Balake Wilson.
That's the edge I'm attacking.
I know you are.
Mace, very hard to split this game. Again, how do you see your Dogs going this week?
Yeah, the Titans, very good in attack, right? Defensively, they've got a lot of holes in their defensive line. But, you know, having that man Kieran Foran back just settles everything down.
Let me quickly, I forgot about the lineups, mate, to go through them. So no changes in the back line for the Bulldogs team. Front row, Liam Knight's in for Puasa Famasuli, who hasn't recovered from that HIA. It was a gruesome HIA, by the way. Therefore, he's the new in. He comes all the way in to the starting lineup. As for the Titans, Kieran Foran didn't play round one. He's back in the sixth. Tom Weaver misses out. And there was one more I am missing, if it comes to me, but I think no, it's actually as per program. Keenan Palacea might start. I think he started.
Do you know why Wayne Bennett used to make sure people's hair wasn't all Larry and mullets and all that sort of shit? Because when you play shit and you look ordinary,
it stands out.
It stands out.
You worried about
Liam Knight better have man of the match.
I said this about Tino Fasulmala.
Yeah, but Tino's Tino.
He wasn't Tino at this point. We're both from the old school, yeah, right? And me and Normie were watching Melbourne Storm, and Tino was a young Terryway at that point. He'd only played 10 games, and he had a couple of errors. And I said the same thing. I said, that's why you don't fucking, you don't dye your hair.
Stands out.
You don't dye your hair blonde. He turned out all right.
Yeah,
now, I'm not saying fucking Liam Knight's Tino Fasulmala. But
if you're in the front row and you have blonde hair like that,
you better play fucking good.
You better have a man of the match performance. That's all I'm saying, Liam.
Yeah.
Because that's what brings pressure, man.
The tab have got the Bulldogs at $1.77. The Gold Coast Titans are $2.05. Mace, you don't want to talk on this game. Man. Obviously, you're on the Bulldogs every time, every day of the week. I'm going the Titans with the plus 1.5. I just think I like them head-to-head regardless. So if you're going to give me
Belmore
a point,
too, man.
There could be a Matty
Burke. Though that is not our, like, we don't bash the shit out of any team there. It's, our record's not that good.
Yeah, okay.
But it is at Belmore, so that does help.
Yeah, your record wouldn't be great anyway in the last couple of years anyway. So, if I get beaten by a Matty Burton field goal, I'm still alive. So I'll take the plus 1.5 from the Titans. And Cam Pereira is my anytime try scorer.
Oh, he's quick too, that little bugger.
The next game. This is a, I feel like this is a tricky game to pick.
I'm done with St. George.
You done? All right. St. George Illawarra Dragons take on the North Queensland Cowboys at Nostrada at 5:30 on Saturday. Jesse Marschke is in for Jacob Little, who had a couple of HIAs last week. So I think that may be the reason. What's his name? Jack DeBella moves up to the front row with Luciano going into the starting lineup.
I don't mind that.
Tom Eisenhuth is playing lock, and Raymond Fatelamarana goes to the bench. We still have Viliami Fifita, who comes back into the team, and a couple of players miss out on the backs. But the big news is still Zach Lomax is unhappy there, mate, at the Dragons, and he has made it clear that he's unhappy, but Ben Hunt still believes he's going to rip in. And there was actually news throughout the week, mate. So I don't know if you've seen this, but apparently Madge actually reached out to Zach Lomax and said, you're being considered on the wing. So that's something that we mentioned.
That's something that'll make you play wing. You said that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not over the Dragons. I just thought last week was just very, very poor from what they showed in round one. 38-0. I'm like, fuck, maybe if it's from Penrith or some top tier team.
Yeah.
Not the Dolphins.
Not the Dolphins.
Not the Dolphins.
Respectfully, the Dolphins.
They're a good team, the Cowboys as well. They found out a way to win last week. They probably should have got beaten.
No Hailem Luki for them, mate, with that ankle injury. Kulikefu Fine Fuiaki comes into the starting lineup. Onto the bench, the new name is Jack Jasiewski. They've got some good depth up there, mate. Tom Chester, Thomas McKayley still not playing for the Cowboys.
What they'll try and attack is their left centers in Suli and Ravalawa. They're defensive. They missed a few little and I think Drinky will really try and exploit that.
Yeah, that's
his
edge.
Mad left to right.
That's his edge.
They'll be either, if they're disconnected in any way, he'll exploit it.
We talked about it after the round one performance. When Moses Sully carries the ball like he does, he turns that edge from a perceived weakness defensively into a strength, because it's just that fatiguing. Yeah. But Cowboys are just going to keep coming. They've got that young Zach Labor.
Is it will be up against Val or Labor?
He'll be up against Labor.
Labor, yeah. He defends all right. But I think they're going to go that way, because Suli's big and strong and everything, like, but he's not the fittest of centers, right? He does look fit this year, but like even Ravalawa, like he's up, like they sometimes look disconnected, and if one person can exploit that, it's Drinky.
Yeah.
You know, like their forwards are going to go forward. It's going to be a tough battle, but it's going to be one with the Tuolungis, the Deardens, the outside backs will be scoring some tries. Val Holmes, I'm expecting one of his best games.
Yeah, he's going to bounce back.
He'll bounce back. Him and Jack Burke. See, Jack Burke can easily nullify most centers, and he probably will, but as long as Val gets through the game, no drops, does everything right. So,
you know, my thought process when a team specifically plays this back, I'm expecting a bounce back. I'm going the Dragons +6.5, mate.
But the Cowboys be going, we played so bad as well. That'd be true. Their mindset, you know, like we have played awful.
True,
Val will be like, I played awful, I need to make up for it. His whole mindset's probably, we lost. Oh, yeah, we won as a team, but he'll, I didn't play like to my lost potential. I'm supposed to be the best center in the world.
Mm. Yep. I'm going the other center though, mate. I'm going the left center. Moses Sully, $4 anytime. Marking up on Labert and Tommy Dearden.
Yeah,
Moses Sully was very underwhelming on the weekend. I'm expecting a bounce back game from that edge. I can understand your thought process. Yeah. I think there's going to be some tries down that edge.
But both edges, I reckon.
I think Moses is going to be coming at Zach Labert. It's just as much as they're going to be coming at him.
I agree. I just think the difference would be Drinky.
Yep. All right, mate. The West Tigers versus the Cronulla Sharks is the last game at 7:30 on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval. The Tigers have made a change in the halves. Aiden Caesar is the halfback, filling in for Bud Sullivan. Juzzy Olam plays his first game of the season.
Filling in for Bud Sullivan, or Sullivan's dropped?
Or replacing,
yeah.
Or dropped.
Yeah, he's at 14 now. Okay.
Yep. Juzzy Olam is in the centres for his first game. He had a HIA in the last trial, I believe, that sort of hampered his preseason. Fanua Pole, he's at lock. Jaden Sullivan goes back to 14. And the bench is relatively the same. As for the Sharks, arguably the form team of the competition to start the season, they are as per programmed.
Jack Williams in for Niokora. How many weeks did he get?
Oh, pardon me. Niokora, yeah. Jack
How many
Williams,
weeks?
I think he got two. I think he got two.
Jeez, yeah. He's lucky. He's lucky he didn't connect with that head.
Early guilty play, I think. Yeah.
I know there was no malice in it, but like, geez, he's got to watch himself for that, because he can hit.
Third degree, Billy Burns comes onto the bench.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I don't mind the Tigers, right? But I just don't. They're coming up against a red hot Cronulla team who defends their asses off. They work hard together. They all run they run fucking hard. And then you got Nicho Hynes, who just does not stop until the 80th minute. He's so fit, and he just keeps testing you and testing you. And you got Trindle just doing his own thing. They're back five, Mulatalo. and fucking Katoa, they just non-stop running at you. Mm. They don't stop. And then Will Kennedy's in some good form, man. Some big plays against the Dogs last week. I like the Dolph, Kafusi. I like their rotation, you know. I don't mind Finucane and Royce Hunt. Well, Hazelton, Billy Burns coming off the bench. I don't mind that.
The Tab have obviously Cronulla are favourites at $1.27. West Tigers are $3.80. The line is 11.5. Do you think the Tigers can the Sharks can beat them by more than 12?
Yeah, easily. I mean the forward pack. Look at the forward pack: Stefano, Clem, Papali'i, Bateman, and Bolle.
They need to step up. Their bench:
Sullivan, Sifar, Twal, and Fayunu.
There's too many good players in that pack for them to toss up what they did against a really good Raiders pack. I'm expecting to bounce back. I'm going to go to the Tigers plus 11.5. Okay. I don't think they can beat the Sharks, but I think that forward pack needs to step up from – that was their first appearance in 2024. Yeah,
I think they'll be better.
And it was super underwhelming. Yeah. A couple of their OGs need to step up. Appy needs to lead the way, and I think they can keep it close enough for long enough. And I'm going to double down. I had Jareem Buller last week. I'm going to go Jareem Buller again, $3.75 anytime.
I liked it when Caesar come on for Sullivan because he straightened it up a little bit. It was attacking the line. Sullivan went nowhere near the line. And defenses are just too good. If you're not going to dig in, you're not gonna get anyone. No one's going to come near you, and then no one gets space on the outside.
Yeah.
If you're petrified and you're just passing the ball real early, it doesn't do shit.
Lachlan Galvin was going after it, wasn't he?
Yeah, Galvin. He was like, how can a kid on his debut get the lion's share of the ball and just take him on? Mm. Like, you know, it's his first game. I love that kid. I just love the way that he went after it. I like the Bolle, the 13. He was good off the bench. Yeah, I think if they get their shit together, man, they'll be all right.
There's but
I just think Cronulla's a pretty good team.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, Sunday, first game, 4 p.m., the Scope Cup, Parramatta Eels at home at Combank against the Manly Sea Eagles.
This is
there's a change in the outside backs. Bailey Simonson hasn't recovered from his HIA, so Blaise Talangi, the young Terawai who plays.
Blaise.
He's named in the centres. He's named in the centres. I dare say maybe Morgan Harper plays centres and he moves to the wing.
Yeah.
The forwards are as per. Luca Moretti is the new name on the bench for Brendan Hands. And, yeah, Joe Offerengawa is named at 16, but there's a good chance he starts with Junior, who's come off the bench in both games so far. As for Manly, they lost Tommy Talau, so Raymond Tui Malo Vanga comes on to the wing. And apart from that, Jakey, Carl Lawton, Waddell, Bullimore, Nathan Brown. Nathan Brown's going to be up for this game, that's for sure.
Should be good. I don't mind. This is the game in the round, I reckon,
because
everyone's the full deck.
And the Tab can't split it, mate. $1.85 Parramatta, $1.95 Manly, so basically
can't
even
split
money.
Split it either.
Plus 1.5 is the line.
Killing me. I want to see Mount Paseka and Alloy go at it with Paulo and Campbell-Gillard.
Another
test. Start Paulo, please. I don't mind him coming off the bench, and I said in situational football.
Yep.
But sometimes
this
when
is another
these,
situation.
Yeah. Like last week was a situation when you should have started him. You know. I know Parramatta got off to a decent start, but I need him to go at the Fisher, Harrison, Leota. Even though he's it's hard because he's killing it on both sides. You start him, he kills it. He comes off the bench, he kills it. So it's like fuck. You know, it's up to Junior. I think Junior, how he feels, he's more, you know, valuable to the team, I reckon.
Depends how he's liking the role.
Yeah, you know, I think if he's liking it, then he's going to be coming off the bench. But they're going to go at it. Look at that team, man. That is a team. I'm going to go Manly. I just think they're on a bit of a tear. I know Parramatta's got a decent side, but I like the outside backs for Manly.
Yeah, so do I,
and
mate.
I like their bench.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got like a tradesman-like bench at the moment, don't they? Who I think are going to improve as the
role
season
players,
goes on.
Mate. They're all role players. They're very good.
This was the exact same game and price and try scorers last week, mate. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I hit on both last week. Manly plus 1.5, $1.95. It's actually coming to $1.80 now. I put this on last night. It was $1.95.
Yeah.
And I'm going that try scorer as well. Tolu Kola, $3.50 any time for Tolu Kola is value for me, mate. Yeah, anything else I wanted to attack in that game? Yeah, I think there's going to be heaps of points in this game.
Yeah.
I think if it's a fast track and it's a sunny game, I think there's going to be plenty of points.
Who's marking Biggie Schmoly?
Is it Dill Brown?
Yeah. He defends all right.
Yeah,
he's just going to get attacked right foot, left foot, left palm. Fucking
Chez wasn't
barge,
even hiding last week. He was just throwing it to
just
him.
Just throw
it
to him, mate. Early ball. Like, you know, because he can do it all. He's easily the best back row in the comp at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. All right, mate, the last game, Newcastle Knights versus the Melbourne Storm. Heaps of outs in this game, some forced, some through injury, and some through suspension. Kalyn Ponga is obviously a fullback. But the big change, Jack Cogger. He's the new halfback for Jackson Hastings, which we talked about at the start of the game. Jaden Brayley makes his first appearance. He goes into the 14 jersey. And Will Price is thereabouts in the 19 as well. As for the Storm, they're missing Jerome Hughes for that suspension of pushing the referee. Whatever you think about that. Yeah, I think that's a tough call for the Melbourne Storm.
That's awful.
He was in his way. The referee, you don't want to see a ref get pushed out of the way, but I don't completely.
Going back to, the Bulldogs and Cronulla game. Annesley come out and said that's a try from kick out.
Yeah.
Get out of the way, ref.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? You just fucking disappear? Like, you can't – you get pushed out of the way because you're in the way, and then you're in the fucking way, and then you call no try. Make your mind up.
I was saying this to you last time.
I hate it, mate.
I was talking about it.
We would have won the game if kick scores.
Yeah. Tyron Wishart comes into the seven. He's very versatile for him. And then onto the bench comes Kane Bradley. But Sua Faalongo absolutely killed them. Three tries in New South Wales Cup on the weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if he ends up playing some part in this game as well. Maybe you can be a little bit more versatile with Pappy.
Is he named at all?
No, he's not. He's in like the 22, 21 or 22 jersey. So there's still time.
They haven't put him in there yet. And he's not in there.
Isn't he in the squad?
So are you looking at Brody Jones, Will Price, Matt Croker, Dylan Lucas and Jackson Hastings. That's the 22.
Sua Faalongo plays for the Storm.
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. He's not there either.
Are you looking down at – he's not in the Storms?
No.
He was before.
No,
anyway.
He's not. Yeah, Kim.
They might have removed him now as part of the cleanup that they do later in the week. How do you see this game going with the Tab, mate? The Tab have got the Newcastle Knights' favourite $1.77.
Sorry, you know what I was thinking? David Faalongo, who I played with 10 years ago. Oh,
I wonder if – are they in a relation, do you know?
Must be, man.
We'll have to look in that for next episode. Melbourne Storm at $2.05. The line is +1.5. Which way are you going on this one, mate?
I don't mind the Knights.
Yeah, same.
I actually don't mind the Knights. I think they'll be pissed off the first couple of games. Cogger will try and, you know, obviously cement himself in that team.
Yep.
And just Jerome Hughes is a top five halfback, easily top five halfback in the game.
Three for me.
Is Munster playing?
Ooh.
No.
Cleary, Hughes. No, Munster.
No, Munster. So, like, Munster, I mean, their forward pack, the Knights are going to match their forward pack, and I think the Knights got more class with Ponga and Gagai and Bradman Best.
Pappy?
You know what I mean?
And
Pappenhausen is a gun. Mm. But that's all set up from the way that Hughes sets it all up, man. He gets out the back.
He really brings Pappy into the game better than anyone, doesn't he?
Yep. And I think losing him and putting Wishart in there, they'll lose. I mean, that's still going to be very, very Melbourne-esque.
Mm.
But I think the Knights are going to get him pluses at home.
Tyron Wishart's more of a ball runner than he is a ball player.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I'm on the Newcastle Knights. I'm expecting a big bounce back game. I questioned him in the review. I thought he was quiet when the team needed him the most. But I'm backing him in this game. Kalyn Ponga steps up. $2.75 anytime. Maybe he does this nice, beautiful sweep shape. Either way, pushes back through the middle and scores a try. Could even be a game winner because I think this game's going to be really close. Kalyn Ponga anytime. The Newcastle Knights -1.5. Let me just get back in here to let everyone know what are you really gambling with. And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858. Enjoy your footy over the weekend. Always gamble responsibly. Have a good time. It's going
to
be cracking.
What are we doing on Saturday?
We're going to be going to the Golden Slipper. Actually, we might edit this all in properly. I don't know how we're going to do it, Lukey, but we've got a couple of guests just about to join us, so let's do that now.